Welcome into episode 94 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise, your host, and today I've got What's a Crack section, a review of Sock Anatomy by Claire Devine, the Golden Skein Yarn Club notes, competition winner, a mum 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 section, the swap section, a big me section, and a whatcha doing segment. I sponsor this for my own business, www.energyhunt.com, which is Northern Scotland's premier renewable engineering service. It pays for my wage and therefore your podcast. Any links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram and I'll let you know what a crack is in Caithness this week.
Hello
section. A sandy hello to new to me, been with me for a while now and been with me forever listeners. I still really do appreciate you tuning in and hope you are enjoying yourselves. A sandy hello to new group members, Kirsty Sharp, Valeria, Carrot Music, T Sparling, Woolly Bear 368, Knits Fork Lips Scap, and Rainy Days. Random hellos to Volks Knitter 54, Weave Nut, Green Triangle Girl, who's a Playful Day podcast, is wonderful. Go listen and thank you, Petal, because you know what for. Whitby 1, Whittle 1775, Wings from the Marsh, Lee Bernstein, A. Cliff in Finland, who sent me a Moomin postcard for the actual land of Moomins. Thank you ever so much, Shirley. And if you see Moomin Troll pottering around, tell him to get to bed now because it's winter time and he needs to hibernate. And also my new Shetland listeners who know Louise Scully, so hello to you.
What's a crack, Citrin?
What's a crack? I really very much enjoyed the last episode listening to the twin sets. I thought it was great and I hope that you did too. So hello to twin set Ellen and twin set Jan, Dorito the Alpaca and everybody in between. But speaking of Louise Scully up in Shetland where the nights are long, 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 even longer than us on this midwinter evening, she has a giveaway on her blog and she wrote to me saying, "Thanks for giving the stash giveaway a wee punt. Not for the blog hits, you know, but because I really want to get lots of folk to enter to win some lovely British wool yarn." Obviously, she'd be saying this in a Shetland accent, and I'm doing it in a Caithnesian one. Big difference, you know. "I am only revealing the entire prize in dribs and drabs for a wee tease, but so far, there is 100 grams Max Longton and Portland Blended DK, 100 grams White-Faced Woodland DK from the Natural Trust, 200 grams Mariner DK British Wool Acrylic Blend in a lovely teal, 100 grams John Arbon UK Alpaca Soak Yarn, Titus Mini Skeins, some natural dyed merino tops and natural alpaca fibre for spinning. You can exclusively reveal..." Oh, that's me. "I can exclusively reveal that there will be some lace weight Hebridean and Shetland and some blue-faced Leicester spun at Laura's Loom from flocks local to her in Cumbria." I like a bit of lace weight Shetland and Hebridean. "I am trying to combine a prize for someone like me, someone who wants to knit breed specific and support rare breeds. Maybe try spinning, maybe try different weights of yarn, but most importantly to support yarn producers, wool growers and small businesses in the UK industry. Basically the rules are to leave a comment at the giveaway post at www.knitbritish.net saying, 'I want to knit British because,' and then put what you want to say. And then there are various ways to get extra entries, such as tweeting and pinning. And it is only open to UK entrants. Sorry, everyone else, but posting is expensive. And as this prize encourages supporting local industries, I really do feel it is a UK only prize. If you're therefore British and like some British yarn, do head over to Louise Scully's website, which is www.knitbritish.net, and put your comment there. And even if you live abroad, go have a read, because Louise lives in Shetland and she's ingrained into the Shetland yarny woolly industry and has some really interesting things to say. I love chatting to her and she's a listener I've got a lot of time for. She's my Louise Squared. I've been trying out a few more podcasts and I would like to recommend the Down Cellar Studio podcast with Jane, whom I don't know why, but I thought I actually listened to her because we follow each other on Instagram, but now I actually listen to her. And she's mostly knitting and her Tales of Boston where she lives. Also, I tried out Katie's Quilting Corner podcast and she's down in Florida. She quilts and she teaches quilting too and she's got corgis. And I got both of these via iTunes. I also tried out two video casts. I know, me, video casts. Paula's going to fall over here. Well, who would think, but the speed my broadband goes. But these two, that I could stream them and load them up a bit too. So I tried out Woolly Bear's Knitting Dish video cast, which comes via Google from www.knittingdish.com. And she's full of energy. She's a voracious knitter and she lives near Boston too. His bairns and a cat called Kermit. Oh, and a husband too. The cat's called Kermit, who insisted on being on the episode I watched, which is quite funny. And she's actual real-life friends with two of my lovely listeners, Jean-Marie and Pat Frack. You lucky ladies known each other in real life. And then I tried out Juniper Grace, who's just started, and if you look up Juniper Grace Tube on YouTube, you can watch her there. She's over Vancouver, and again, full of energy. She plays the ukulele. I did find myself going into podcast mode of not watching and just listening to the video ones, though. After years, I find it hard to change over. But I like these two enough to watch a couple of episodes so far. Plus, I had the time to sit and watch instead of listening as I do things, which is the way I normally listen to podcasts. The very talented Zabi Barback has gifted me her latest hat pattern, which is really pretty cool. It's called the Staggered Ladders Hat, so I'm going to read what it says at the start of the pattern. It says, "This hat was inspired by the writings of Ursula Le Guin." And the quote is, "The creative adult is the child who has survived Ursula Le Guin." The description of the hat is a positive ease hat knitted bottom up in the round with staggered drop stitch ladders spiralling around the head. There's two versions of the hat provided in this pattern, a very wearable slouchy beanie shape for every day and a more dramatic full-length pointed stocking cap with an optional dragon tail barb on the end for when you want to make more of an impact. The pattern is especially designed to showcase and break up the different pulling effects of short repeat hand-painted yarns, but it also lends itself well to being made with different coloured sections, example in stripes, a graduating colour scheme, or as a rainbow. The pattern accommodates yarns from worsted to chunky and can be made from a single 100 gram skein of worsted yarn. Oh, that would be good. See if you won one of Louise Scully's 100 gram prizes. You could use it for this hat. I would actually like to make this in a dragon colour of green or red. Or, well, I suppose Daisy's dragon is pink. And it would be perfect to go in to see The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug. Smaug. I like the way they say Smaug. Smog. You don't get much more dragony than that. Actually, the one without the tail is a pretty nice pattern too, but I think the tail just gives it that fun factor. Thank you very much, Zabi, and I hope that you could all go and have a look on Ravelry, where it's $4.
The review section.
Now. I'm very fortunate to be able to talk to you about Claire Devine's new e-book, Sock Anatomy, Dissecting Socks, Heels and Toes. I've actually met the lovely Claire, and she is divine by name and by nature, and she was manning the P-Hop stand at the Glasgow School of Yarn in October the day I went. She's a very pleasant lady, easy to speak to. And she's not long moved up to Edinburgh, and she's the most gorgeous wee girlie who is the cover girl for this book. Its blurb on Ravelry says, a collection of 9 patterns featuring different heels and toes. A fantastic way to explore new knitting techniques while creating gorgeous mini socks. There's 5 patterns released in December 2013, with a further 4 patterns to be released in January 2014. Now Claire had remembered Mum and I had gone to John's knitting socks workshop, and she thought that we might like to have a look at her book. So thank you very much, Claire, from me and Mum. I would say that this isn't just a pattern book. It has 53 pages and 12 of them are on techniques and construction, and what struck me was the way she's got the diagrams and the information set out on those pages. For a beginner sock knitter, it was brilliant. I will warn you, firstly, that these are 9 mini sock patterns. Mini as in for a wee bairn from age 0 to 3 years old. And I can see why Claire did it, having a wee bairn about that age. And she's also made it for us that are beginners but don't want to have to commit to full adult foot, which is daunting and seems to go on forever. At first I thought, ach, the patterns aren't really much use to me then. My bairns have grown out of them. But then I remember my friend is due with twins in March, so this is absolutely perfect for me as I race to make all the things for twins. She's teamed up with Dana Biddle of Colour Span Yarns, who's a lovely palette of pure merino sock yarn to team up with the patterns. And the picture at the back, oh, just a rainbow of sock colours, and you just want to go up and squish it all. Ooh. Claire has this priced in at £9. which I think is a really good reflection of what you're getting. There's five patterns, with four patterns to come in January, so that's going to work out, £1 a pattern, and plus you're getting really nice instructions. For me, who is a beginner sock knitter, I think that this book is perfect, as we all know people who are going to reproduce. Although I selfishly want the big socks for me in those patterns too. Maybe Claire's next book would be for selfish Louise. Let's hope so. She's very kindly got us a discount code for you listeners. You get 20% off the book until the end of December. So quote Kaith Ness and the numeral 1. That's Kaithness, the numeral 1, when asked for coupons at the checkout via Ravelry. Claire's website is www.yarnandpointysticks.com and she is Knits for Lips Cap as her Ravelry name. So do go have a good look at what a lovely Christmas present you could give yourself. Them socks aren't very big, so you could possibly knock out a present for Christmas if you bought it today. Now on to the Golden Skein. The Golden Skein Yarn Club Notes. This is run by Kate of Kate's Twirl, who occasionally appears as the co-host on iMakes podcast, and also Joe of Shiny Bee's podcast. Joe and Kate love to find new and interesting independent dyers and yarns. The Golden Skein is all about seeking out fabulous one-off yarns so that every project is a treat, and liberating your own golden skeins to make space for new ones. They bring together dyers from all over the world who dye custom-themed colourway collections based on an inspiration picture. The first club is to be launched as the Power of Three Club. This brings together three different dyers who will dye the yarn to the same inspiration picture on three different sock weight bases. This allows you to discover new dyers, try different blends and get a feel for the dyer's particular signature style. The colourways are limited edition and created especially for the Golden Skein. The four inspiration pictures will be available on the 1st of January when sign up for the club will open on the website, which is www.thegoldenskein.com. Commitments are for 3 of 1 instalment, 6 of 2 instalments, 9 3 instalments or 12 4 instalment months. The recommended retail price is £60, which includes UK postage. EU and the rest of the world postage attracts a further postage charge. For this, you will receive 3 times 100 skeins of sock weight per instalment. There will be a slimmed-down version of the club available known as the Slimmers Club for those on a yarn diet, and they will consist of 1 by 100 skein of sock weight yarn, which will be one of the three yarns in the main club. The website is expected to be live at the end of December. Until then, details and chatter can be found at the Golden Skein group on Ravelry. Pattern ideas for our first yarns are at Pinterest page, which is the Golden Skein, and they are the Golden Skein on Facebook and the at Golden Skein on Twitter. So you can basically get them anywhere you want. So that was the notes that they gave me. So I've pretty much just read them out verbatim. Don't call me lazy. It's just because it makes more sense to do that. They've done all the hard work for me. Now I got in on the trial club, and boy am I pleased that I did. I got it in the post and I even had to sign for it, which was lovely. It's a really bonny package, which was a gold postal bag. I didn't even know you got such a thing. Inside was 3 skeins of yarn wrapped in a bonny black tissue wrap, and it just, oh, it was luxurious opening that. And it's great getting yarn in the post, but this was just that little bit special being in gold. There was 3 skeins in this one. Well, to be pernickety, 3 in a bit, because the nurturing fibre skein had a wee contrast mini skein to go with the big one, which made up to the 100 grams. The photo that they took the colour inspiration for this trial club was a green landscape and a sunrise or sunset. I'm not actually quite sure, but it was a big sky, and there was greens, purples, reds, oranges, yellows, blues and greys in there. There was a nurturing fibre skein of 100 grams, obviously, and this was 300 metres of superwash merino. Nurturing Fibres is Carly, who hails from South Africa, and she's tied hers up with chiffon ribbon, which is lovely because I'm going to use that chiffon ribbon. The yarn has a high twist in it and is quite round, so it should be perfect for socks and quite hard wearing with the high twist. The dyes are saturated into the yarn all the way through, and in fact she still has the vinegar smell because she hand dyes them for our knitting pleasure, you can tell. And I'm going to make actual socks with these and use the little wee yellow and white small skein for the contrast heels and toes. And then we have Sparkle Duck, which is 55% superwash blue faced Leicester, 45% silk, so it's got a really nice silky sheen to it. And it's a little bit less round than the nurturing fibres. It's nice and soft. It's got blues, teals, greens and dark, all the shades in between. Very much like summer grasses to me. It is saturated, but it's more of a watercolour kind of depth to the colour, because there's the sheen and I kept thinking, oh, there's white there. But no, there's not. It's just a lighter wash. And this is going to lend itself very well to being a broomstick crocheted cowl called the Infinity and Beyond Cowl, which I made for the school fair and my mum was going to get it if I didn't sell it, which it did. So I'm now making her another. And with this yardage of 400 metres, I could easily make four. And I've started casting on and it's just really nice. The colour changes are very subtle and very quick. It all blends in very nicely together. And the third skein is for the love of yarn, and this was just like the view from my window across the Loch of May yesterday. It's got light blues, yellows, browns and greens in it. It's a winter's day with low sun where the grasses are almost yellow and the sky's a peely-wally blue. It's just gorgeous in its skein. And then when I wound it, I found, oh, it's very different. And I don't go for yellows or browns, so you know, I wouldn't have picked this up if it was caked. But I've seen it when it was in its skein, and this is going to be the Strand Weaver Shawl by Lee Victoria. So I think it'll be really nice when it's knitted up, because the colour changes are a little bit longer, and I think that's precisely what that shawl wants. I was very pleased to be part of the trial gang, and I hope that you go on to have a dip in the golden skein. Both Kate and Joe are lovely to chat to, and they've extremely good customer care, presentation. I hope to carry on taking out some more yarn clubs from them, albeit I'll have to get knitting on the stuff I have first. If you have Christmas money, then do go and have a punt on the 1st of January. I don't think you're going to regret it. They ship worldwide and they're available from the start of the year. Competition. The winner of the Art of Felt book, On Felt as a Knitter Slippers by Kat Bordy's book, is going to be gifted to Sarah Monty. So enjoy it, Sarah, and I look forward to seeing you all felfed up.
The grandma section.
Here is the mum section. Now you need your hands free for this one. I think we better do sign language in it rather than the signer who was the Nelson Mandela May He Rest in Peace memorial service. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Louise.
I've fed Mum some coffee and a mincemeat pie. We had to steal the pies back from Quattro because he's been glowering at us all afternoon for no reason whatsoever. Somebody suggested on Facebook I gave him a mincemeat pie. And whilst he doesn't eat them, Mum does. So what have you been doing recently, Mum? But you can start with this afternoon.
This afternoon I came to your house this morning and I have sewn a voile curtain for you, for your bedroom.
Thank you very much.
It's
much appreciated.
Bonnie, bonnie voile.
Mm-hmm, I got that in Remnant Kings in Inverness in April.
I was there with you.
No, you weren't.
What did you buy when I was with you then?
In Inverness.
No, it was Glasgow. I thought you had bought that in Glasgow. Sorry.
No, it was other material that I found the other day. And I thought I'd forgotten I had that. Wasn't it pretty? Right. And what other stuff have you been up to?
Well, you'll have a craft stall on Saturday, so I volunteer to make two placemats and two coasters, matching coasters. And it's for children that have... It's a lovely background of blue, and the stars are different colours, tiny stars with little faces on. So it could be for Christmas, or it could be for through the whole year. And I've got the matching yellow moulder on the back.
Ooh,
material.
Posh.
And, it, you know, hopefully they'll sell. Mm-hmm. Coasters, I like the pattern for coasters. And then I made two of their placemats for Santa with snowmen, all different kinds of snowmen, and two coasters for Christmas.
Oh, did you? Is this for your house?
Mm-hmm.
I've not seen them yet.
No, because they're for the bairns.
I'm not taking the half leg. I used to be a bairn. So what else have you done?
We went to the Caithness Quilters Christmas party in November.
Yes.
And we did some hand sewing and we did a bag. I think you could describe the bag.
Good. It was
was a, you can make this with a fat quarter, I think, and it was a rectangle of material and you sew it together to make a tube. And then you do two circles at the bottom and it turns into a circle bag, and then you use a, it's like a handbag handle at the top, a circle is inserted into the material and it stands upright on itself. I'm using mine to put some yarn in just now because the yarn has been rolling all over the floor and I think is alive. But you could also use it for putting your bits of thread into, so what you've got beside your machine. So we all did them and we got some really bonny batik material that we were given, all cut to size. All we had to do was cut out the circles and the card and then sew it together.
I think everybody enjoyed doing it.
Yeah, we did.
Everybody was at the same stage when we had to finish out for lunch.
It was a good day, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a good day. It was really good.
What else have you done?
Oh, yes, at the moment I'm making a shopping bag. We've got some material to, put into the sewing group so we could choose what we wanted. So I took some material away, and it's autumn colours, and it's the material plush. What do you know what plush was? Velvety.
Velvety, kind of touchy-feely.
Yeah, and I've made how many squares? Nine on each side, 18. Mm-hmm. 4.5 inches. I cut the squares, and they're all different colours, toning in, and then I've got the 4.5 inches I cut around the edge and the bottom. Half of the gusset. And then, of course, I've got that to that stage yesterday, and then I'm going to line it, maybe it's tomorrow, put a little pocket in.
Cool, a lovely little pocket.
Well, they're useful for...
They are very useful for keys and things.
Yes.
Well, sounds like you've been busy. What else have you been doing?
Oh, yes. Last week when I came to your house, I started making kitchen curtains for me.
You're making some for yourself.
Yes. Wow. So I measured them, cut them all out, sewn them up, and I'm going to have tabs on the top. So I cut all the tabs out and sewed them and turned them inside out and pressed them. And I got to the stage where I was pinning them on last week. But I'm waiting till after I finish the shopping bag tomorrow, and I'll finish them off because I want them up for Christmas.
And you're carrying on doing your...
Well, I am going to finish my duvet, but I'm going to leave that till the turn of the year.
Mm-hmm. So these have all been sewing projects, haven't they? Have you got...
Yes.
What's your knitting just now?
Well, I think I mentioned cowls last time.
I think so.
So one was knitting in lace and the other one was in sock wool, and it was the same pattern and they look completely different. Mm-hmm. And I finished them and I had some sock wool left, and the sock wool was lavender and cream. And I had some wool left, so I knitted fingerless gloves.
Do they have actual fingers on them?
No, not these. You just stitch them up. They had a cable on the back.
Mm, these were the ones that you got bitten by your mitten in, wasn't it?
No.
Oh,
I've knitted black wool mittens.
Mm-hmm.
Fingerless.
What was the pattern you did on the wrist?
I did some Swiss embroidery.
That was it. I couldn't remember the name of it.
I Swiss embroidered two flowers, and I bought beads at the charity shop, and real bargain. It was really good. I bought four lots of beads, three with large holes in them, because I use quite a lot of them, and the ones that I sewed on my mittens were just, you know, finer, thinner middles, bronzy colour, and I sewed them on in the middle, and I was quite pleased. I've never knitted gloves with the half fingers in before. It was quite fiddly, you know, but I enjoyed doing it, and I'm wearing them.
And have you got 7 pairs of socks yet?
No, I put the socks aside because I was busy knitting the mittens. But I am going to I've got wool for it now. I am going to do it, you know.
I'll get back to it. What else?
Right, this year I put by half finished jumper. I've done the cardigan and I've knitted about 8 inches of the jumper, but I put it by because I've been knitting everything else. And it's the Susan Crawford Coronation Knits Princess Twin Set, and it's vintage.
Mm-hmm.
So I knitted the cardigan and knitted half the jumper. Well, USO? USA? USO?
UFO.
UFO.
Well done, Grandma.
So I picked that up and I started that at my knitting group on Monday night. So I'm going to finish that.
Cool. Sounds mm-hmm. like you've got quite a few busy times coming up for you.
Well, yes, I'm going to finish my duvet and I'm going to make a handbag for me.
Oh, explain more about the handbag.
Oh, it might be a bit difficult, but it's a lovely pattern. And we had a workshop which I couldn't manage. Now, a lot of people made it with two lots of material, but I saw one in tartan and I liked that one the best. It's quite wide and quite deep, and it's got like three panels. At the top, the panel goes together, you know, thumb to thumb.
Right, listeners, put your hands up. You might be on the bus just now. It'd be really funny. So you freak out the person inside you.
Two hands up.
Put your hands up together and put your thumbs together. Right, that's what Mum's doing just now.
Right, and then that's the meet together at the top. And then at the bottom, they go the opposite way.
Mm-hmm.
So the middle is a bit twisted.
So you take the top of your material and it's a panel that's a rectangle and you twist it in the middle and you sew the back end of it onto the bottom.
Something like that, yes. Mm-hmm. It's hard to explain, but
they're
I
really
do
effective.
Like it. Yeah, and I like the way perhaps I put the...
Hold on, listeners. For those on the bus that have still got their hands up, you can take them down now. I like to think of people doing that.
I can't talk without my hands.
Not all people can.
So Babs was made of tartan and...
Babs was made of tartan.
Babs's bag was made of tartan. And I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's busy making another bag of tartan, different tartan, for a friend.
Where do you buy tartan? You don't know?
I don't really know. It would probably be a big shop. You know, a big store.
Yeah.
I don't know if Wick would have tartan.
Doubt it. We'd have to send up for it. If any listeners feel like sending us some tartan or telling us where to get it, let us know. Probably the Scotch listeners more than anyone else.
So, and I liked her handles, the way she sewed them on. They rolled right around, but they're flat sewn on in a diamond onto the bag. And there's a big... top there's a panel going around, and she's sewn handles and they're flat with a diamond design, and then they're rolled at the top.
Did she buy them? Did she say?
No, she says that's the way they are.
Oh, wow.
And everybody puts their own kind of handles on. Helen's got long ones,
mm-hmm.
and they're sewn inside the between the material and the
mm-hmm. and the inside.
Inside.
Mum now has her hand up with her finger in between her other hand. So people on the bus, put one hand up and grab your forefinger and thumb and stick your finger in the middle and wiggle your finger. Now they're really looking at you funny.
It's hard to explain, you know, when you're
yes, it
talking.
Is, when you're trying to get it into descriptive words, but mm-hmm. I know from being a listener of a podcast, it's much better when people make that little bit extra effort.
Can I say, Louise, can I say to Sherry, happy Hanukkah and a peaceful new year. Thank you very much. I'm sorry I couldn't put the photographs onto the computer, my computer doesn't do that, I'm afraid.
Oh, you'll have to ask Santa for one, Grandma.
I know. But thank you.
Mm-hmm. we enjoyed very much looking at all the stuff. It was great,
oh,
wasn't it?
Oh, yes, super.
Yeah. Actually, to come on to the new swap idea for next year, I thought if we all got a little box or a packet and we put a weight limit on it of under a kilogram, then you can put whatever you want into it. So you could make stuff. It wouldn't have to be a kilogram exactly, but keep it up to the 999 of grams, so there you're not charged the extra money when it comes to the kilogram, because it goes up. I think it's 2 kilograms, actually. But I think under a kilogram should be more than enough to put in lots of bits and pieces or one big thing. So you can sign up. I'll put a thread up on Ravelry for that starting in the new year.
Okay.
I'll get your brains working.
Wow, that will. You'd have to really find out what they loved best.
Well, plus you'd have to weigh it.
How do you weigh a parcel?
You get your kitchen scales out and you weigh it.
All right.
The digital ones are slightly better.
Right.
Well, thank you very much, Mum.
You're welcome.
Sounds like you're going to be very busy in the future.
Yeah.
Right, and everybody put your hands back in your laps now.
Lol. I've got lol. Laugh out loud. Mum has been busy and will be busy. She's finished my vinyl curtain and we put it up on Monday morning, and it's in my bedroom, which is great because the old farmhouse across the road from me has been turned into self-catering and they can now look directly into my bedroom, whereas before there wasn't a window that you could look out of. And nobody needs to see me in my bedroom attire. I mean, I've got a big pink onesie.
The swap section.
Swap. Well, as I mentioned on the Mum My Mum section about the swap, I think that would be quite good fun. So the only stipulation, it has to be under a kilo of weight, because that's where the cost in the UK post office jumps up. And it can be anything you want to send, but it has to be within 900 to 900 grams worth of nice stuff. You can get a fair bit of yarn or fibre for that. Or when you stalk your swap partner, you might find that they're into, say, well, I don't know, Harry Potter magazine, which is under a kilo. Now remember and stick to the legality of customs, etc. for the country you're sending to, but the next swap is for you to use your imagination. I'll put a thread up on Ravelry for you to enter. I'll swap you mid-January for posting on the 28th, which should be about payday, so you can afford the postage. Because, well, obviously we're going to have no money by next month after we've gone and bought the golden skein, the sock anatomy of knitting, and Zebby Bartak's pattern. Now, most of us have completed the Christmas decoration swap. Thank you very much for taking part. I hope you got as much fun out of your package as I did. I think everybody sent and received. Now, if you've not, please let me know and I will saddle up Daisy wearing her Viking outfit. If you have not sent it, please let me know what your very good reason is why you were late. This is only fun if it's fun, and if it's not fun, then it's just not fun, and that's no fun at all now, is it? And hopefully I am just talking to myself there.
The beaker section. Me, 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 me!
Me, me, me section. Because, well, it is actually all about me. There's a fair bit of catching up here about the missed fortnight. The table at the school fair last weekend, and my house looked like it had been stirred with a spoon. And as Richard says, well, just shows you what you do. When you break down, the machine breaks down. And extra points for whoever knows for what film that comes from. I'd made 3 of the Minion hats from Despicable Me. They're the little yellow fellers with 1 or 2 eyes and a bit mad. Bairns love them, but I couldn't knit them fast enough to have loads on sale. I did make a wee paper tree, and I made one of these last year, and they're really good. It was an idea from Pinterest, and you get some cardboard and an old book or papers, a bamboo skewer which you put through the square of cardboard perpendicularly so it looks like the office stationery item that your stab receipts onto that. You know, the ones that baddies in film use to kill people at offices. But then you cut up an old book or paper in decreasing sizes or squares using zigzag scissors to give it a tree effect. And then you skewer the paper onto the bamboo skewer so it doesn't mean that you could use this as a baddie weapon. It was Louise in the kitchen with the bamboo skewer. So you put the paper onto the bamboo skewer and then you keep it on and you turn the next one so it gives a branch effect. You carry up with the tree with smaller and smaller squares until you get to the top. I finished it off with a gold polystyrene star that used to be a tree bobble at the top of the skewer. And then I ran some gold and silver glitter down the sides of it, which totally sparkled it up. They're very popular and very sparkly and very Christmassy. And you have to be quite careful with them because they're quite delicate. So I made a couple of them and they sold. I had a wee fabric Christmas tree that my friend at Textiles, Celia, had given me to use. And I put on the sequins. I had them hanging from a branch that I had sprayed printed red. And I had a vase covered in tinsel. Woolly Bear, I love tinsel. And they sold. Well, I've mentioned the crochet cowl. But I didn't have a broomstick lying around. And you're supposed to use a cut down piece of broomstick. It's a great big fat piece of... It's like a little short fat knit needle. But I used a lightsaber. Well, didn't have a broomstick lying around. So you use the lightsaber to take the loop of yarn over it and make it makes great big loops. And when you crochet the next line, the way you hold and catch the big loops, the front crosses over the stitch, over the back, and it's a really bonny stitch. It's quite fiddly to try to learn it, but and it isn't all that easy to do with a lightsaber, to be perfectly honest, which is sitting beside you. And I had to do it on the couch rather than the kitchen because I needed to keep the lightsaber laid onto something. So I used up a bit of fibre spates that the lovely Alex gave me 2 summers ago and used to make my dragonfly shawl. So that sold. And there's tutorials on to internet for broomstick crochet. It's quite nice, Steve. You should give it a try. And I had made some inspirations packs as suggested by Suna, but although they created interest, they didn't sell. Nor did my Cheviot hand spun, but I was glad about this because it's going to Timberfoot as her prize for the Natalie Servant knit along. And it means that I don't have to go and spin more and her to wait for it. I also had some carded bats and had written on the label Caithness Cheviot from a sheep that lives in Canisbay. And I sold that, which was pretty cool. I had loads of bookmarks and my mum had helped me by making some placemats, as she's mentioned, and coasters with bonnie material for bairns and a bonnie shopper bag, which she finished. I also had my drawstring bag and the wrist bag from Etsy shop, but it never sold. Now, what I did sell, what I was really pleased with, was the arm knitting that I did. I'd heard about this via Bronwyn on the Knitting Pipeline podcast, and she appealed to my sense of, I could do that. So, I looked it up on YouTube. There's a few patterns on there if you fancy a shawl. I firstly tried it with Norro worsted, and it didn't really work out. It's much too thin. And Richard just looked and went, it just looks like you've unravelled the ball of wool. Nah. You know, in the man way that they do, you know. The video has 2 strands of what looks like t-shirt yarn and it works much better. So the fatter the wool or the type of yarn that you're using, the better. So I found a 100 gram ball of Signet Seriously Chunky, which was in slate grey colour in the Red Cross charity shop in Thurso. They've got a stand of yarn that's not second hand. But this sounds a bit awful. It had a really fusty smell to it. So I made the infinity cowl using the arm knitting technique, following the instructions on YouTube. I don't think it took me very long at all. It's not hard and it doesn't take long once you kind of know what you're doing. I would imagine with some really nice chunky or fat hand spun, this would be just gorgeous. Something you can knock up the night before Christmas anyway. It sold, and I probably could have sold a few more of those. You could loop this one round your neck 3 times and it was quite cosy and it washes up really nicely too. No more fusty smell and it softened the yarn, which was 100% acrylic. I had knitted up a small girl's hat that had a hole in the back, a proper hole that I'd put there on purpose, for a ponytail to go through. It didn't sell. Daisy was absolutely delighted. I had it sitting on her Rapunzel head that she does, you know, the hair with. Remember Girls World? Well, one of them. This was a free pattern on Ravelry by Urban Homesteader using worsted weight yarn. I used up the last of the yarn that was sent by Sally a few years ago and it's lovely and soft and Daisy's delighted with it. You're getting a wee theme here, I used up quite a bit of yarn actually. Did I mention the minion hats? Well, yes. Oh, the minion hats, they're my bunting bane of my life just now. I still owe Sandy and Daisy 1 each. I never told you the pattern and it's based on the Minion Hat pattern by Lauren Irvin, which again is a free pattern on Ravelry. Only I used double knit instead of Aran, was because that's what I could get hold of in the proper yellow that I wanted. And then for the first one I used some of Eat Acres yarns for the eyes, but for the next ones I raided Mum's stash for some acrylic browns and greys. Plus I want to make a tea cosy from the Eat Acre wools, because when I made one for my tea cosy swap, because my return one got lost in the post, I never got one in the end. And every time I look for my pattern page and tea cozy, it makes me sad. So, when I found out more of the eatagar.com Etsy shop yarn. I thought, naha, I'm going to make me a tea cozy with this. And I found myself casting on the Minion hat the other night. I think it's just an automatic reaction. I know what I'm doing. Cast on 88 stitches, knit for 2 inches in blue, change to yellow and bigger needles, and then knit for a little bit in yellow, put in a black stripe, and then knit in yellow and then decrease. It's comfort knitting, I suppose. But what I've actually decided to do is just knit when Sandy's reading me his story, because he has to read his 10 minutes a day now, and he loves reading. He's really into his books. So he reads his bedtime story now, and it's his way of doing his homework and enjoying his book, because then he'll carry on reading it after I've said goodnight to him. But I get to sit and knit while he reads to me, and it's lovely. So that was a school fair. I made a reasonable amount, enough to pay for a few Christmas presents and some yarn, so thank you very much. I won't be doing the craft trail around Caithness. The bairns went up and did their Christmas singing, and of course our Daisy was the star of the show. Made everyone laugh. It was kind of hanging at the back where my table was, but she's like that every week at Sunday school, so I've had the privilege of it before. Sandy even smiled on stage, which is great, because he's no big into going onto the stage. And then some of the bairns got their photo taken with the cake that the school gets gifted by Prince Charles every year because of his ties with the Castle of May. The Queen Mother started this tradition, and it used to be made in London and sent up every year, but one year it arrived in bits. So now they make it at the Castle of May, and my very own Jenny done it, decorated it, because she's fabulous at cake decorations. She said the hardest thing with the cake was not being able to feed it brandy or sherry because the bairns are eating it, and none of them are over 18. Every year the bairns get their photo taken with the cake for the papers. And this year my Daisy was chosen because she's in primary one. And she sits there with her Santa hat on and the cake. And she was very photogenic, wee blonde curly haired little girly, as most of you know. So she's going to the Grow, the Press and Journal, and I believe Prince Charles gets a copy too. She's our wee star. And that was a school fair, so I've had 3 days off crafting. I was pig sick. And I quite enjoy tidying everything up but upstairs and cleaning my house. However, I had to make my Christmas cards in amongst all that too. This year I went for a small tree which had been the Lutrador green painted material that we made a few weeks back at Texel Artists. And then I rubber stamped over them with various Christmas stamps. And then went over them again with dabs of glitter glue to make them look like they had baubles or tinsel on them. Tinsel again, woolly bear! And I had ready-made thin gold card sized 8 by 20 centimetres, so it had to be a bit of a taller design. And I had small pieces of white card and paper which I corner punched. That's not punching it in the fist like the Jackie Chan kind of way. That's using a paper punch which rounds off and gives patterns to corners. I also have scissors that do this, and they're much faster than the punches because they can be hard to use. I then rubber stamped a small plant pot onto the white paper and dabbed green ink around the edges to soften the edge. Oh, I've used edge twice in a sentence there. Sorry. I then stuck on the tree above the plant pot and gave a raised thin sticky pad to give it a bit of depth. And small tip for British people, if you haven't realised this, only ever stick thin pads onto cards these days for posting, or you have to pay for the large stamp. The postmistress in Castleton yesterday was double checking because I says I'd hand make them. And she says, oh, just make sure it goes through the space. And I says, oh, don't worry, I've already thought about that. Gone are the days where you used to just stick everything on every card. Now you have to think about it. And then I rubber stamped with a stays-on ink pad, which is my ink pad of choice, onto the bottom of the card, Happy Christmas. The collective news. Mum mentioned we had our Christmas in November day at Quilters, so I've already mentioned the bag that we made. I have my favourite lunch of the year, and we take in some food and fire in, and boy, these quilters cook and bake up a storm. Most of them are in the WRI, so you can imagine the quality. And in the afternoon, we finished sewing our bags and we had a quiz, which was to find the solution to acronyms, which our table had no idea. And we subjected it to taking the mickey out of it. I know lots of knitting acronyms, such as WIP, TINK, UFO. Well, these were quilting ones, which I think were from America. And we proceeded to put on our own silly stamp, such as WOBIB became Wifey's on Bus, Inverness Bound, you know, that kind of thing. Santa was in there quite a lot, and general fun and silliness, and yeah, we got told off for laughing too much. But we didn't care, we didn't win. They did have the competition, of which I have photographs on Flickr for you. The theme was a touch of traditional. The winner this year was, of course, Juliana, because she can machine embroidery with the best of them. She'd chosen a traditional block pattern, but with contemporary colours, with a white background, and she machine embroidered most of the white part of it. Oh, we squealed with delight looking at that. And then there was the log cabin quilt, which came second by Kathy Gunn, who is an expert knitter, and we were comparing ishbels. It was quite nice. It's funny how patterns look different with different yarns and different people make them, isn't it? Even different colours of the same yarns. Just amazing to look at them. Then in third place came our very own Celia, who had a wall hanging with lovely muted greens and burgundy reds and blocks. Special mention from me goes to Catherine, who she'd used tweeds, and she'd made a tweed quilt throw, and it was beautiful. It was really heavy, and it was just a bit different, even though the blocks were traditional. I'd never seen anything like it, and I just loved it. And we had our pasta parcels, so I got 2 fat quarters and a packet of bugle beads, and mine that I'm more than happy with. It was a great day, and I look forward to getting back into quilting and textile artisting again next year. So I'm going to get stuck back into my jelly roll quilt and the Friendship Star quilt 2 top that are my wifey's Inverness precinct.
What you doing?
Malena Doughty, Christmas Knitting Panic. And she's written that in capital letters, so she should really be shouting at that. Joy Lynn was knitting like the wind, finishing up her last chickadee cowl and chunky baby alpaca for her son's teachers and therapists. They do so much to help him reach his goals because he's autistic and these challenges that go along with it. Julia Rondell is wild Christmas knitting panic, also counting down hours left of work and over to 2 weeks of summer holidays because she's down under. That confused me slightly there. Going to do all the knitting, spinning and reading from the 24th of December. Oh, how lovely. And Cece Allman from the Geeky Girls was just home from seeing The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, with the Hobbs and Damaris as part of Damaris' Christmas present. I knit the Hobbs an entire hat while rewatching the first movie over the weekend and watching the movie at the cinema today. Oh, that's nice. That's a really nice way of doing it. I've never actually knitted in the cinema. I just can't bring myself to do it. But we're planning on going to see that and Frozen, and I think they're taking out Cinderella in the Thurso Picture House on the 20th. And Sandy screwed his face up and said, I don't want to see that. And Daisy was, I want to see that. I says, well, you don't want to see The Hobbit. You're far too young for that. No, I don't want to see The Hobbit. So we're trying to sort out logistics for going to see both of them. And I think next episode I'm going to have the New Year's party. So you'll get your party shawls and shoes looked out because it's Scotland's New Year next year. We own 2014. But you're all invited to the party. And there is no option. You have to come.
Blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah section. Thank you very much for listening. I do appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me splaff on. My email is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I'm on Ravelry as Louise Hunt and the group is Caithness Craft Collective. I'm on Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest and Facebook as Caithness Craft. And you can get the Flickr photographs from LouiseJ2010 on Flickr, or you can go to the Podbean website as www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com, and the photos are down the right hand side of there. The music was from Comfortable with Snow and Hollywood Drunks and Here Comes Santa Claus. And you can go buy both of them from musicalley.com. I've got an Elvis version of Here Comes Santa Claus on his Christmas Peace CD, but I can't play that due to copyright. So thank you to Hollywood Drunks for your version. You too can have the same earworm I have. Plus, when Richard was playing thrash metal, AC/DC and the like Christmas songs the other day, I turned to him and went, here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus. So a very Merry Christmas to all of you who celebrate it. Thank you for listening and do keep on crafting.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Fixin' and blitzin' all his reindeer, pullin' all the reins. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. Hang your stockings, say your prayers, Santa Claus comes tonight. Here comes Santa Claus. Christina.
Do you?